live from Bates Nursery and Garden Center, just north of Briley Parkway on Whites Creek Pike, and worth the drive from anywhere. It's the At Home Show, answering your questions about your home, your garden, and your projects. Now for two gentlemen best known for pioneering the concept of social distancing, Josh Carey and David Bates.
Oh yeah, everybody knows what that music means. It's now time to climb your tree, don your loincloth, and survey the backyard, because you got to find a project, you got to lay it in the unmarked grave of history. Welcome in, everybody. It is your Saturday morning tradition. We call it the At Home Show. My name's Josh Carey.
And my name is David Bates.
That's Michael Stevenson. He's keeping us together here and keeping the show on the air with the assistance of Honora. And we're here for you, David. It's Saturday morning. It's going to be hot, but it is going to be a glorious day to get out.
It really is going to be a great day. And yes, hot being the operative word, in case you were unaware, we are now approaching summertime. And of course, we're looking for a high today of 93 degrees, but we will have considerable sunshine, particularly in the late morning, early afternoon. And Josh, you're talking to us.
No, that's Twitter talking to you, because we're on Twitter. Okay. We're on the Facebook Live. We are on YouTube. And we're everywhere, David Bates.
And we
but that's okay. We're working on it. David's working on it strong.
We're trying to get the LinkedIn folks
certified.
So we'll just put those up there on a delayed fashion until we get a live status. But anyway, we are going to have sunny conditions today, and it will be quite warm today. The humidity, you may have noticed, has definitely come up a lot since we've had these rain showers that have come through. We actually got, night before last, about an inch and a half of rain here in the overnight hour. So that jacks up the humidity quite a lot. So we're looking at 93 for the high today. It will be about 70 degrees for the overnight low. Tomorrow, more of the same, except it will be more sunny. And still about 93 degrees. And as we move through the week, still 90s through Monday. Then we begin to have a cooling trend, which looks very welcome, along with a couple of days of some storms as we move through into the middle part of next week. You'll see that on Tuesday and Wednesday, we've got the chance of rain. Not a whole lot of rain, maybe two or three tenths of an inch. But you never know. Somewhere the bottom will drop out and it'll get really soaked. But so these are just typical for this time of year. But as we move through the end of the week, you see high temperatures only in the lower to mid 80s. So that looks really attractive as we move towards next week. So it's a beautiful morning. Need to get out and take advantage of it. Currently it's 79 degrees here in the Music City.
Yep, dial 615-499-6690. That'll go to a secret telephone in a secret location. And
where is that secret location?
It's at the Groom Lake facility.
Oh. Okay, so I actually thought it was on Michael's phone over there.
No, but that is
not. It's connected to the Groom Lake facility.
Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain.
No. But that way you can leave us a message, and if you desire, we'll call you back to discuss your issue that might be going on in and around your home.
Right.
You can send us a direct message on Twitter. I just noticed that it will function that way as well. As soon as I find the live feed for the Facebook page, you'll be able to comment there as well, and we'll be monitoring those during the show. But if you got some pictures of your outdoor living area, we're going to talk about those kind of things during the show today as well. We'd love to see what it is that you do at your home, so that's what we're here for. You
got a lot of folks out there shouting out Earl Clover and Rachel Terry and good buddy Cliff out in Oklahoma City. So, Cliff Gooding, good morning to you, and welcome everybody. John Smith out there, Corey Smith. We got a lot of folks out there watching, so we appreciate you tuning in. Obviously, we are on a variety of platforms. If you happen to find us on YouTube, please subscribe to us, and that way you'll get the little notification, and it'll tell you every Saturday morning when 8 o'clock rolls around, and that's when we go on the air.
And every time you see the show, share it. If you're on Facebook, share it every single time.
Yeah, whether we're live or not doesn't matter, but if you're watching right now, by all means, please do share us on Facebook
and share the podcast too.
Right. And for people to get access to the podcast, Michael, what do they need to do?
Basically, you just go to your preferred podcast player that's on your phone. If you have an Android phone, it'd be called Google Podcasts. Mm-hmm. If you have an iPhone or an iOS device, it's called Apple Podcasts. And you just open up the app, go to the search field, and search for the At Home Show with Josh Carey and David Bates. It pops up, gives you an option to subscribe. You can review it, and then you can share it from there.
That's right. Corey Smith is hosting a watch party. Thank you, Yard Boy, as always.
See Chris Ladd out there. Leslie Chambers, hello. Leslie Chambers Nichols, hello, dear. Great to see you out there this morning. And always good to see everybody tuning in. We're here to talk about really what you want to talk about.
Yes.
And we got some ideas as about some things that might be on your mind. Certainly there are, as always, when you're gardening or when you're really, when you've got any project going on, there's always challenges, unforeseen obstacles that occur along the way. And
somebody's throwing something down on you, David Bates?
Well, usually it's Mother Nature.
It's a gauntlet they're throwing down?
Mother Nature is the one who really
selling wolf tickets to David Bates on this kind of stuff?
I'm telling you, Mother Nature can be a difficult individual to deal with. And
she's tough.
You may have noticed in your landscape that there are some issues like that. My good friend Miriam, and maybe Miriam is tuning in this morning, she put a question out there, and I asked her to say, well, Miriam, why don't you call in and leave us a message, and we'll find out what we can talk about that. So anyway, one of the things that if you want to talk for just a moment about some things we've got here around us this
why
morning,
don't we, David?
One of the things that I always find interesting to discuss is the nature of color, and then not always meaning flowers. And one thing for sure in the world of colorful foliage, there are a great many things down here in front of me. And I don't know if Honora's got it on that or on the big screen, but regardless, we've got four things that are in some trays down there. And what you'll see at the very front is what's called uptick tick seed, or coreopsis if you prefer. And it has a golden bronze flower, as you see there. So it has that beautiful two-tone. Behind that, the first sun coleus was one called finger painted. It has that mottled-looking foliage. Again, the coreopsis is a full sun plant. The sun coleus are what they say. They will take full sun. There are coleus. Many of the older varieties really couldn't handle that much sun. So sun coleus do well in that. Behind that is a burning heart caladium, and those have a beautiful, I would call it almost, it's not quite a burgundy, but it is a deep red flower. Not flower, but foliage on it. And caladiums do produce a bloom, but it's not a showy bloom. It's mostly showy foliage. And then one of the most aptly named is the sun coleus in the back there, which is called wasabi. And it is
spicy.
It is definitely a wasabi green. So there is that one. And all those are great accents to add to your garden, most of which, I mean, obviously the coreopsis has an actual flower on it, but the other three really are just colorful foliage. They don't flower, but they add an equal amount of interest into your garden. Did you have a question, Michael?
I was just going to say, they call it wasabi, and I know this is going to be a dumb question. That's not what they make wasabi out of, is it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, shut up, Josh.
No. Oh, yeah.
No, and you're right. It is a dumb question.
It is a dumb question. Well, I had to ask it. Okay. Did you know there's somebody out there thinking that?
That's the stuff that you get in the tube.
Wasabi actually comes from horseradish. It is a
That's right.
So, it's a root plant.
So anyway,
really
going moving along here. This is a great shot if you're of the summertime blues chase tree.
Oh, that's an Alan Jackson tree
or Vitex. Well, I don't think it's named.
It's
with
from
him
Georgia.
In mind. Well, but a Vitex is a great plant, blooms throughout the summer, and this particular variety has really wonderful foliage on it. So I like it. I think it's very attractive in the landscape. And many of the older types have much thinner leaves. So this is a plant of interest. We'll work over here over to Aphrodite, which is a named cultivar of a sweet shrub, or calycanthus, if you prefer. And it does have the very showy, long-lasting, and fragrant flowers on it.
What color is the can of paint down there?
I hid the can of paint. I thought
that's what he painted. That's what he painted the blooms with.
Yeah, okay. Moving right along.
It's a finger paint stuff over that here. We were talking about
over
earlier.
Here to just to Michael's left, and on the right side of the screen are three different gold cypress.
Mm-hmm.
And the first one we have here is just the golden hinoki, and that will get up probably 8 to 10 feet in height. Ultimately, it's quite an aggressive grower, and you might see these three in the front there and think they're all the same. They are not. We got the second one here, which is the vintage gold, and you can tell it has a looser kind of a different look to the growth habit of it.
Wow.
Very similar color, but a different kind of a looser growth habit. And then we have one that's very compact growing. This is Golden Charm. It is deceiving, however. It looks like it would be a very low grower. It actually can make a huge mound. It can get up 6 feet tall and 8 feet wide. So many times when you buy these mopped type of cypress, you think, well, these are going to stay nice and low. Until they get
crazy,
rooted
yeah.
in and kick in gear, then they are growing machines. So there is that. One of the things right here beside you, Josh, is mm-hmm. the Sunfinity and sunflower. And they already are beautiful. They are a nice, more dwarf type of sunflower that flowers for a much longer period.
Now, is there something mixed in with this? It almost looks like it's got lavender on there.
Well, we've got some of that same Vitex.
Vitex?
Yeah, the one we just talked about down the front. It's sitting back here behind it. Just to add some interest, some contrast, and to be able to see.
Some texture, as it were.
See how beautiful those Sunfinity sunflowers are.
Three things. Number one, appreciate the sunflowers. My wife loves sunflowers. That was mm-hmm. a flower we used at our wedding. But we were at my mom's house cleaning out her garage yesterday.
Now, these are the volunteer sunflowers you're going to talk about.
So it's not bloomed yet, but the stem is as tall as me.
Wow.
It is nuts how big that is. And you can kind of see it getting ready to bloom here soon, but it's not there yet. And my mom's lemon tree, too, she trimmed the branches like you told her to a couple of weeks ago.
Yep.
Now she's got like three baby lemons
he
on there.
He is so smart. Look at him, man. I tell you what.
I'm sure it's accidental.
No, you're a genius.
615-499-6690. Now, I see the round man with the square deal watching from, I know he happens to be down near a saltwater facility with some sand. So I'd love to hear from you if you want to give us a shout, Big Harold. And I know you have quite an outdoor living area. I've seen pictures of his. Gorgeous. So we kind of been thinking back and forth here over the last week or so, or 10 days or 2 months or 3 months, about the outdoor living area at the Proving Grounds. And the project is proceeding. We're getting there. It's gotten hot, so things are moving up along there. But we actually hung some lights upon the canopy that is part of the outdoor living there at the Proving Grounds. And it looks really good. I mean, if I do say so myself, it's a wonderful place to sit in the evenings. So just kind of wanted me to get you out there to see what's going on at your house. And we have one, don't we, David Bates? We have an at-homie that actually did send us one.
I was trying to get yours up there, and for whatever reason, it's not cooperating.
Well, that image was from your Thursday morning or Thursday afternoon reminder to come out and and do your homework, your at-home work, and send us those questions so we can get some things
done. I don't seem to have any shortage of homework.
You don't have enough of that?
No, I've got...
You're not doing anything during the day, right? Sitting around watching your stories?
Not much, and Honora can attest to that. She sees how little she sees of me, and that's just the way that is.
Yeah, the worker bees never see the queen, right? Okay, I get it.
Uh-huh. Anyway, let me get back to where I was heading with all this, but yes, we are indeed looking at the Prince of Potions. This is his backyard.
Now, is this not stunning, ladies and gentlemen? Look at this area. And there was a bit of a struggle getting the structure attached to the home, and I believe it's attached to the home. But you've got a beautiful vaulted ceiling.
If it is detached, it's detached with love.
Yes, it is. And he has done, and the design team have done a fantastic job there. You see all kinds of elements there. It looks like he's got stamped concrete on the floor. Of course, he's got his wood... the cedar structure holding up the majority of it. He's got some wrought iron railing going on with it, and of course some beautiful landscaping. And look at the grass in the Prince of Potions front backyard.
Well, you would expect no less.
Oh,
perfection.
My goodness. And so
a monoculture if I've ever seen one.
No, that's the way he rolls now. He's what do you think he's got growing there? Because some of those hinokis would look pretty in that application, too. But he,
yeah, it looks like in the background there, it looks like, to me, if I'm guessing, and it's hard to tell from that image, it looked like there could be Nellie Stevens holly, something that's going to get up upright and grow. And the ones that are what looks to be directly beside the and it's hard to tell through that. Through the grate, exactly what those are on the other side of the fence.
Looks like
perhaps,
he's got a she shed out there in
perhaps,
the backyard as well.
Drew might even call in if he's tuning
in. Probably on a golf course this morning.
Probably.
So, all righty, folks, but you can join us anytime you like. 615-499-6690. That's the nice thing about having the YouTube channel up there is you wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, you need a shot of Josh and Dave. Hey, just go out there.
I don't know. That's a frequent occurrence. You know, 3 o'clock in the morning, I can't sleep. What will put me back to sleep? Josh and David, of course.
Well, I mean, you could
It's the best known cure for insomnia on the market.
Hardly.
Hardly. Yeah, I don't think so.
Hardly. But, hardly, sir.
I touched briefly on the thought that there have been some issues that Mother Nature has created for us. And as gardeners, and you know who you are, dealing with the things that Mother Nature gives us, whether we like it or not, they're just things that Mother Nature gives us, and so we are charged with dealing with it. And one of the things that Mother Nature has given us is some really extremes of weather. Now, if you'll let's roll your memory tape back to last fall, we had really unseasonably warm weather throughout October, all the way into mid-November. We were still having, we had 90-degree temperatures even in the early part of November.
I remember that, yeah. It was, people were in their swimming
and
pools.
And even as we got into the middle part of November, it was just, you know, we had maybe the low temperature had been like 64 degrees. It was just really quite warm. So what happens as a result of all that is that plants are still very much actively growing.
Yes.
And when they're actively growing, that means the sap is up in the plants. The cells in which that sap occupies are
engorged.
They're engorged. They are swollen.
Ooh.
And when you freeze those, when they're in that state,
shrinkage occurs.
Well, crystals occur, and they penetrate the sidewalls of the cells, and consequently, you get damage. Mm. Now, what we had was two consecutive nights of low temperatures in the teens for our first frost. It was not a frost. It was a severely hard freeze. So there were things that reacted badly. Hinoki cypress are one of those things that are normally a very winter-hardy plant, and they are. So long as they go through a normal dormancy. Now,
or a slow down into suspension. Right.
Now, to make matters worse, as if that damage wasn't enough, we had, again, things began to juice up this spring early, and we had a lot of early warm weather, only to be followed up by a 26-degree overnight low freeze in early May.
Mm-hmm.
That did a lot of damage, particularly noticeable on crepe myrtles. And crepe myrtles actually got killed back two times this spring. I've never seen that ever happen before. I've seen it happen once before, but many crepe myrtles in people's yards have got severe dieback. Now, that doesn't mean that they're dead. But what it likely means is that they'll have to be cut back severely. So Miriam, I don't know if
even the big Natchez and those kind of things. Now they're virtually impossible to kill.
I have seen Natchez that are very much affected by it. So there are people who are telling me that they've got Natchez in their yard that have major dieback. They're having to cut major canes. I'm talking about canes that are maybe 2.5-3 inches in diameter, to cut those way back and allow the new growth to come out from beneath.
But the good thing is that that new growth will start from the bottom, and those,
absolutely,
those, and you, it allows you to, at this point, to select the canes that you want to keep maybe a little better.
Yes. Now, back in the day, and I'm talking about in the 70s, 77, 78, 79, or maybe it was 78, 79, and 80, not really sure. It's a lot of fog during that time.
It was cold during those days.
Yeah, it was, yes. Cold. But yeah. There's some mental fog that persisted during that time. Mm-hmm. But regardless, we had really severe winters multiple years in a row.
Absolutely,
and it got to be the annual ritual to cut your crepe myrtles back to the ground because they would freeze all the way down to the snow level. So,
well, the winter of 1980 is one that I particularly remember as being just brutal. In the month of January, was just,
and I'm pretty sure that, well, it wasn't. And there were other winters that were bad as well, to be sure. But we had three
back
there,
in our day when they had snow.
We had three winters there that were so bad successively.
How bad were they? Dude?
They were so bad that people just about quit planting broadleaf evergreens.
Wow.
And I'm talking about all types of holly. They all got burnt to the ground. And crepe myrtles, they got burnt to the ground. But for people who were patient, and there again, patience is the operative word, and allowed those to start pushing out new growth from the base, they're able to save those. And crepe myrtles, fortunately, are a very fast-growing plant. They tend to recover quite quickly. So even if it's a large one that suffered severe damage, you can cut it back quite low, allow the new shoots to come from the base, and then go in there and begin to selectively thin those down
right
to about like five stems so that you can bring on the best ones. And
or let it be a bush form. That's not against the law.
That's not bad either. So, yep. You know, and you can let several, but you probably still need to thin those a bit, yep, simply because that there's just too many. There'll be 40 stems shooting up.
So is the proper thinning technique, and then we'll ask this of a certain person that lives at the proving grounds, is that the proper thinning technique on a dead cane to reach over, grab a hold of it, and snatch it back and forth, David?
It's not the cleanest way to do it.
Oh, okay.
No.
Okay.
No. I mean, it will leave maybe a sharp stub down there, and you know, that's what they make loppers and hand pruners, you know, for cutting.
But it's much easier just to reach over there and snatch it out of the ground.
Their own.
615-499-6690. If you've got an issue running around your household or something, we can help you with that. Well, home improvement projects as well, if you want to discuss those kind
of things. And here's another thing that people need to be thinking about. Although
David,
we've been getting a lot of rain.
Yes, we have.
And so, therefore, it's logical. It would seem logical that, you know, you don't even have to think about watering because it's been raining so much. Mm. But it hasn't been raining everywhere all the time. There have been areas, as I said at the top of the show, we got about an inch and a half of rain here on, I think it was Wednesday night, Thursday morning early, but I think it was like Wednesday night. So it quite a lot of rain here, but this was a very localized storm. It didn't,
and they're popping up everywhere like that this
year. And that's kind of the way it goes. So if you're, it's really a good idea to have a rain gauge, something that will. Hello, Michelle Behar. I'm so glad to see you out there this morning. But if you're going to be the best gardener you can be, you need to be apprised of how much precipitation you're receiving and when you're receiving it. And it also depends on when you've planted something or what size plant it is to help you determine when it needs watering.
Now, here's an issue I run into with my raised beds. We planted it, and the only place you can really put it
above
in our yard. Well, yes, above ground. But
you're above ground.
Where we put it in our yard is the only place it gets mostly sunshine throughout the day. Everywhere else is too shady.
Right. Okay.
But it's on a slight incline as well, and we have a wet weather spring. Well, I don't know where it starts. I don't know where it just, you know, when it rains.
Does that ground tend to stay
self-leveling?
Does that ground tend to stay wet? It's underneath it?
For a few days after it rains, it does. All throughout down it. And I'm kind of wondering if those raised beds are soaking in too much of that water running underneath it and drowning that.
Certainly it can, because that's what's known as the wicking effect, and that's what happens when you water a plant, if it's a plant is sitting in a saucer, for instance, like you can put water in the saucer and it'll pull it up into the soil. It'll get wet all the way to the top if it has enough moisture there to do it. So,
now, how deep did you plant your above ground garden?
I got 11 inches of dirt.
Yeah, that could be a problem. Now, and you're going to see signs of problems in that you'll have yellowing of plants.
Yeah, that's what I got.
Had we known that this was a wet weather area, we probably would have strongly suggested that you put maybe a 2-inch layer of gravel in the bottom of your.
Yeah, I didn't realize it was that wet that far above. I knew we had that wet weather spring. And now, so it's divided into two squares, two 4x4 squares. The top 4x4 square is doing fine. The tomato plants look great. The cucumber plants look great. The lettuce, the broccoli, all of it. The second one is where everything is a bit yellow.
Right. And you may find that it is the one that looks wonderful later in the season as things start to dry out, as we start getting into a more summertime pattern of rainfall. But this illustrates my point exactly, that gardening is not...
It is no way an exact science.
No, it is not. It's about dealing with the conditions that you're presented with and seeing how you can adjust to make the best call on
now,
that.
Did you, when you ran your landscape fabric, did you pull it up the sides by any chance at all?
No, we did not.
I was going to suggest maybe he would go to the lower end or a couple of places and drill a couple of holes. But if we don't have landscape fabric in that area to protect,
use a soil barrier fabric.
We put some of it. We had some soil barrier there that we put down, like some fabric down, and we put some cardboard underneath it too.
Okay, well that's okay, and that probably helps some. However, the cardboard in particular. Being the nature of what it is, it's going to tend to get wet, and it's going to wick it on up to the soil. So if it's staying wet all the time, what you can best hope for is drier weather conditions. Now, you might be able to do some excavation and kind of detour this water around it, at least temporarily, till the soil starts to, the rainfall and the soil.
On the downhill side, maybe even put a couple sandbags or something.
Yeah, route it around it. That you can dig around, just dig a little trench and get it to turn the corner where that it's running around the bed instead of underneath it.
615-499-6690. If you've got other issues that you've got to do,
we've got a couple of calls.
Let's say hey to Susie Edelman Patterson. Saw Susie this week, helped her out with a window issue. Good to see you, dear. See the yard boy is still watching. That's good, because you need to lock in the At Home Show. Once you start, you cannot stop.
Have a good chat with Buffalo, and he indicated that he might pop in and give a surprise visit. That's what he said. Okay. And it's good to see him, by the way, back on 2 feet. The last time I had seen him previous to this, he had he had twisted his ankle badly, so he was upward and mobile.
Marvin Nishin's watching on his way to Maine.
Oh. he's a guy on the go.
Is he fishing up there?
He said he was going fly fishing in Maine. So
he can eat it. That's a nice way to put it.
He's a catch and release guy, by the way. So 615-499-6690.
Let's hear what we got out there, Michael.
All right. Let's go.
Good morning, guys. This is Ann from Franklin. I have a question about what type of either shrubs, bushes, trees, I don't really know, that I could put along a fence line in my backyard that would be a good, safe place for birds. We have a lot of cardinals, chickadees, house finches, and titmouse out here. So just kind of wanted to see what you suggest as far as something that they would be attracted to. Thanks, guys. Y'all have a good day.
Now, is the plural of titmouse titmice?
Correct.
I thought it would be. What kind of tree do you like?
And there's all manner of things. Now, I don't know how much area that you have. Mm-hmm. There are quite a lot of things. Mainly, most of the birds, to my knowledge. Now, I will tell you right off the bat, my bride, Renee Bates, is the birder in our family. She's well-versed on that. But all the birds that I heard you mention are not – are not too much fruit eaters. They're going to be eating other things. So what you're really talking about is providing some place with that has structure that they can land in to get a little cover from, and to perhaps just sit and perch in relation to wherever your bird feeders are.
And they'll find a place to live, I promise you that.
Yeah, but so not having things that are too densely branched is probably a good idea. You may want to
put a robin plant and put a nest in a holly plant this year.
Yeah.
I mean, and unfortunately, she didn't put it in the best of holly bushes, too. It's right by the driveway, and we have a fox. And we have,
I've seen videos of your fox, and he gets around. You know, they're beautiful little creatures.
But, four times in one night.
So. Anyway, but back to what to put out there. Serviceberry is a great native that you might consider out there. They are either just now in fruit or just past being in fruit. That might be an attractant to some of your birding friends. But the good thing about it is that it has a loose enough branching structure, and it is generally a multi-trunked, kind of a shrubby type of understory tree.
Titmice are a little, they seem to congregate more toward the ground. So, I mean, I don't know if you'd have a couple of areas that you could put some structure in there.
Yeah, you can put any type of lower flowering shrub, anything that has a strong enough branching that gives them a place
some
to land into.
Maybe?
You might want to mix some conifers in there, maybe some of these cypress like we've got down front here, some of the either in the gold ones, or there are those also that are more
emerald,
just a green color. We've got the ember waves
of grain.
This is of gold actually. This is a sport or a cultivar of green giant arborvitae, and it looks pretty much the same as the regular green giant during the growing season, but it's a very gold color during the winter, so it has a lot of interest. So something like that has enough density where they might get in there and nest. There's really, the long story of it, short of it is that there's really nothing you can put out there that's not going to be attractive and provide structure and cover for the. So you might put some things that are more open and maybe some things that are more densely branching. A lot of it has to do with how much room do you have to devote.
Correct.
To the plantings that you're putting out there. That's where, if you're going to get some help, you know, take some photographs of the area that you're looking at and bring those along with you, and our landscape professionals here at Bates Nursery will help you figure out, show you all the options right there. And
you mean you wouldn't sell somebody in a zero lot line a southern magnolia for the front yard, David Bates?
If they were determined to buy it, yes, but that would not be a good first choice. I mean, they're going to get a bit large.
They tend to get pretty big.
Now, right? If you used an Alta Southern Magnolia, they are what we refer to as a more fastigate grower.
Don't cuss on the at-home show.
I'm just saying, Josh, and that just means upright and columnar is all that means.
Oh, okay.
That's what fastigate means.
You did it again.
Yeah. Well, and that's just one choice if you were looking specifically for a magnolia cultivar, but there are a lot of other columnar
types. What about those little gems? Are they little baby ones?
Little gems are a good tree, but they're not. They're not nearly as little as the name might make you think. They have smaller leaves and smaller flowers, and they're a lot more dense growth habit, but they can still get quite big, very wide. So if you had width restriction issues, wouldn't be a good choice because they really spread out a lot.
Oh, my goodness. 615-499-6690. Do we have another call, Michael?
Yeah, we got a couple more calls.
Okay, good.
Hi. My name is Miriam Kim. And I'm calling about my Natchez crepe myrtle that apparently barely made it through the winter. I thought it was dead, gave it up, and then it finally started suckering out. But the upper branches are completely denuded of any foliage whatsoever. So I want to know what happened, what I should do now with the sucker's foliage. Should I pull the tree and replace it? Should I try to salvage it? And how can we keep this from happening again? Thank you so much.
All right. Well,
Miriam, you'd have to move possibly to Mobile to probably, according to what we talked about earlier during the show.
Yeah, that's a bit harsh.
Birmingham,
Mobile, those are Montgomery, even
Natchez, Mississippi. Yeah,
those are all great places. But what we had was, as we talked about earlier, and I hope that you heard our discussion on that a bit earlier, Miriam, mm-hmm. is that we had this double whammy effect of this instantaneous quick freeze back in November of last year, where it went down to in the teens on our first cold weather.
Mm-hmm.
Normally you'd see a progression of slowly cooling temperatures, and then your first frost would only maybe be 30 degrees or in the upper 20s. Yeah. But we had actually upper teens for the first one. That was the first nail in the coffin. Now, I'm not saying they're dead. They're not, likely.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the first damage. And then, as they began to try to put out this spring, we had warm weather early, and we had a late freeze, and that knocked them back one more time. So, in your case, certainly it's not dead, but it could possibly be dead back near the ground. That's where you're going to need to. I would be patient. If you don't want to cut it that severely, you're going to start seeing some breaks of new growth. If you haven't already,
really
cut it back to that point and allow them to come out from there, or go all the way down with all the canes, allow it to resprout from the base. And then you can either, as Josh had suggested, let it come up in a bush form, or as it comes up in a bush form, you can, as time goes along, start selectively thinning those canes down, and there'll be some that will present themselves as being a more dominant and more vigorous growing.
A few groceries on top of it probably wouldn't hurt them at all at this
point. No, fertilizing is always a good deal, and right now they're going to be very receptive to that because they're calling on all that energy. Mm-hmm. Now, the good thing about it is that even though the top of the plant may have sustained severe damage, the root system has not. So you've got all this energy and all this ability to push new growth down under the ground. And with the warming conditions we've got right now, you should see that start happening. I would not give up on it yet. I think you'll be amazed by the time that August rolls around how much mm-hmm. this will have recovered. Certainly it's not going to have the diameter of canes that it had before, Miriam, but
yet.
Give it a couple of years and it'll resume its form. So this is kind of a anomaly.
It's 2020, man.
It's very, I guess it goes with the year. We've had no shortage of difficulties.
Oddness. Now, could that have happened? Now, I've been meaning to talk to you about this, but Mr. Wu, my Tamukiyama Japanese maple, who I love, and
Does he respond when you talk to him?
He tries. He's very soft-spoken.
I got a couple of Tamukiyamas out here on the yard that really don't have much to say.
Well, he's a man of few words, but his top part is fine. The lower section of the tree is fine, but in the middle, he's kind of. Kind of sparse. I mean, hard and sparse.
Saying Mr. Wu's having a midlife crisis?
It could be that he's having a midlife crisis, but I mean, just deader than a doornail right in the middle of the tree.
Yeah,
I mean,
well, it's not dead. It can't be alive on the ends and alive underneath and it may have
all kinds of strange things happen for proving grounds though, David. So
do you intend for those things?
No, I don't want it. I want him to be full. I love him. I mean, he's glorious.
Is in fact the strangest thing that happens at the proving grounds you.
Could be. It could be. And I mean, that's been known to happen. But could that have been a part and parcel of that early freeze?
Certainly. And a lot of Japanese maples got hammered severely. They seem to have been affected worse by the
springtime
freeze than by the autumn freeze. However, there's no question that depending on where a plant is placed and where it's situated in the landscape is going to have a lot to do with how much protection the structure or the trees mm-hmm. afford it. And all of those things will certainly factor into the amount of damage that a plant may or may not have received. I have 3 Natchez crepe myrtles at my house I live a couple of miles from where Miriam lives.
Mm-hmm.
They got no damage at all. Now we had Two of them we cut back quite a lot simply because
they're getting a little
bit. These 25 foot power lines, all of a sudden, that were far, far away a decade ago, now were really close. So we did shape them, but we did not commit crepe murder.
No. But now, in terms of Mr. Wu in the middle of the tree there, am I going to see little breaks come out or in a new growth there? Or are we just going to have a
tree? Certainly. And you'll almost be able to watch that growth grow. It will push so fast and so hard. But as you mentioned earlier, it's a great idea to get out there and put some fertilizer on there to help give them some additional nutrition to be able to push new growth with.
All righty. 615-499-6690. Have we cleaned off the callers, Michael, or do we have any more?
I believe we're good at the moment. We got plenty of room for them. They want to call us.
All righty.
Well, let's talk for just a minute.
Okay.
About, you know, everybody's planting a lot of stuff. Maybe you've abandoned all hope on a couple of things. And good morning, Hugh Bennett. Great to see you this morning. But if you're going to be replanting things, you want to get the most out of your efforts. You know, it takes quite a lot of work to garden. Is it a therapeutic and fun endeavor? Absolutely. But you don't want that effort simply just to be the confusion between activity and production. What EarthMix Garden Products does is it helps you to be productive in a completely organic fashion, a complete line of sustainably produced products, whether you're talking about EarthMix Garden, EarthMix Proganics O, the outdoor professional growing medium, or if you're talking about Viragra worm castings, supernatural compost, the entire lineup of EarthMix Garden Products are sustainably produced, 100% organic, and done so right here in Nashville, Tennessee. So I invite you to check out the website, earthmix.net, and there you'll see if you go to earthmix.net, you click on the Find EarthMix tab, and a map will come up there, and it'll show you points all over the area. And if you happen to be down in Franklin, Harpeth True Value, great folks down there. Make sure you can go by and see them. And let's just see, Turnip Truck has seasonal availability. But
how about out west of town there,
Doug? Well, their Turnip Truck now has a location on the west side of town. So
there's, I did not know that.
Yes, they do. So anyway, go by and see them. Also up in Kentucky, even in Indiana and Ohio. So coming soon to more locations near you. Remember this, success in gardening begins at the ground level when you use EarthMix Garden Products.
All righty, folks, 615-499-6690. If you're on the beach watching the At Home Show, we really want to call from you. If you're in Oklahoma, call us. If you're anywhere.
I'm pretty sure your phone works, Cliff.
Okay, I mean, we've got two listeners in Oklahoma, so I mean, there's all kinds of stuff going on.
Well, you know, we are out there on the World Wide Web, you know, and that's the way that social media and interaction allows us to be able to engage and to be able to attract an audience that a broadcast signal over the airwaves just fails to reach.
Well, yes, you know, we had a comment that they missed that one of the listeners. On watchers or viewers or customers, or how we need to
react. One of the audience.
They are the audience.
I know.
They're not wannabes. Did you say wannabe?
No. One
of the audience members. Okay.
Do we need to get your hearing checked, Josh?
Yeah, well, I'm deaf in that.
Okay.
But, we're not on the radio. So.
No, we're not.
And,
Josh and I have been on the radio for a whole bunch of years.
Yep.
22 to be exact.
It's together, the exact number that I've been on.
And we did it, and we actually started doing radio together initially over 25 years ago. So we've been at this a bit, and we appreciate you tuning in, and we appreciate your interaction. So anything you've got, if you've got a comment out there on our Facebook page, feel free to do that. You also can catch us.
If anybody knows why we're not on the radio, might want to give us a shout, too. That would be one
that
of those.
That could happen. I have been reading that a lot of area hotels are beginning to reopen.
Is that correct?
Yeah, okay, I even saw that that the Opryland Hotel is one of those that's going to be opening up. I think it's the 25th of June.
I've got a parking pass for that place.
Do you?
Yes, I do. Yes.
Well, I think all three of us have one.
Do you have one? Okay. All right.
Well. So anyway, more will be revealed, I'm certain, with regard to that. But we do wish everyone, our dear friends over at WSM, the very
and
best.
And watch the Opry, please, yeah. And listen to the Opry.
Always a great show every Saturday night. That's kind of become our little ritual at home, to have dinner, watching TV, and see who's on the Opry. So check that out tonight. I have no idea who it is this week, but it's always
somebody
excellent.
Good.
Yeah. It's always excellent. So check it out.
All righty, folks. Yes, if you've got an issue, you can call us, you can text us, you can send us a message.
Even if your issue is with Josh personally.
Come on. I mean, that's okay.
If you want to call and complain about Yard Boy, you can do that.
Speaking of call, we hadn't heard anything out of him in
he's
forever.
He's a busy man these days.
He didn't have 2 minutes to stop. I know he's thinking
a charlatan.
He's probably,
again, that's one of those cases where, you know, if you're riding around in your work vehicle or you have a set of headphones on and you're one of those things, you just, it's kind of hard to hear YouTube on the, you know, so nothing wrong with YouTube. It's great. You can, next week, just take the show, put your phone on the dash on the hands-free option, hit it, and you'll be able to rock and roll with us and everything will be able to go.
Well, I don't know how this got started here. I was checking for a comment here. I'm doing a Josh Carey move here, so apologize about that.
That's okay.
And I was checking to see what the comment was by Cliff Gooding. He says, morning, David.
So morning, David.
Now, I'm glad he didn't say afternoon, because that would indicate that he was watching it in a delayed fashion.
In the greater Greensboro area watching, I see Earl says, just no to Bradford Pear Trees.
Thank
you, Earl.
Here's something for you guys. So I work with a grass seed company through the week.
You do.
And we get a lot of questions about, hey, can we still go out and plant, you know, fescue grasses?
Sure you can.
You can, but I'm right in saying you're going to have to water the heck out of it to get it to grow now that it's starting to get pretty warm.
See, you've listened to the at-home show. So, yes, I think you are correct in that.
But we are getting into more of a Bermuda-type season.
Absolutely.
So.
Or, and again, in the case of Zoysia, we had a friend that was we were interacting with on Twitter, who he overseeded with Zoysia and was wondering about watering habits. And again, with the amount of rain that we've had, it's kind of one of those spotty things. So, you know, it's we have the water gauge on the end of our finger, don't we, David? So,
well, if I'm being careful, I have one on.
Both hands.
Yeah, okay. I've kind of had a little run in with this one. I think I'm getting these pins out in about 8 days.
Just come
days.
Over to the truck. We'll get them out if they're bothering you. But
hey, hello, Tom Reese. Good morning, Tommy. Great to see you this morning.
Inside joke there, David.
Inside joke. Well, okay. You got to know Tom. If you don't know Tom, you know where I'm going with that.
Okay, but when Zoysia or the Bermudas. Yeah, they're going to – I mean, after this weekend, if they're not kicking in full high gear, all, you know, all tires smoking all at the same time, you're going to have a bigger issue than what's going on, don't you believe?
Say hello to Margie Bundy and Teresa Olson out there. Uh-huh. Great to have you ladies watching us this morning, and we sure appreciate that, along with Jason Walden and Denise Melton and a number of others.
And
so,
Rachel Levent, we see you there, and she says she's another Bradford pair she's got her own cell about the anti-Bradford pears, so, I mean, that's one of those things. So
she is diligent.
I forgot to tell you guys, the dude that lives behind me,
uh-huh.
He had a Bradford pear that bloomed late.
Oh, darn.
Yeah, so I was out on our porch,
mm-hmm.
And, of course, you get a whiff of that, and
it's,
I sat there.
It's a hideous smell.
Yeah, I just sat there and started shaking my head. Butt is what it smells like.
Okay.
That's the nicest way I know how to put it at the moment. Anyway, Catherine, my wife, walks down the porch, stops her dead in her tracks, and she goes, what is that horrific stink?
Uh-huh.
And I pointed around the corner, you see that tree over there with all those blooms? She said, it's that.
How big is this thing?
It's tall.
Okay.
It is. It must be an old one because it's tall.
Just tell them to either trim it severely, which means right at the ground level, or don't trim it at all. Eventually, the wind will take it down.
Yes.
Well, I don't think so, because when the where we're at, our neighborhood, it is surrounded on all sides by very large trees.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think that's the only reason it's gotten
protected.
As tall as, yeah, it's protected. It's the only reason it's gotten as tall as it has. I've debated on going over there and cutting it down.
Well, and who have you debated with on that?
Yourself?
I'm just curious.
Myself.
So, who won the argument?
My better judgment is what won the argument.
Messing with another man's tree, even if it is one of those, is probably not the wisest.
That's dangerous.
Yes. So.
Very dangerous.
Well, I mean, all you got to do is just saw like a quarter of the way through it, give it one good push, and it'll just look like the wind took it.
Yeah, that's one technique you could employ.
I'd be very careful about that if I were you.
I don't want to go to jail.
But you might consider approaching your neighbor and saying, you know, that is a tree.
That's an invasive tree.
Yes, and you'd say, look, I'll be glad to assist you in taking it down.
But wouldn't you guys pose as the Department of Ag? And then I could bring you over there and we could, like, convince him to cut it down.
I don't think I should do such a thing as that. I don't believe that would be, particularly given my horticultural connections, I think that's not a wise activity for me to be posing as anybody.
What about Yard Boy? Would he do it?
Yard Boy would cut it down for you if you.
Well, I'm sure he would cut it down.
He could show up as a Petersburg official and just take it down.
You can't live in Petersburg and be a Petersburg official. I think they got an there was some kerfuffle down there at City Hall last week. And if you don't follow the Petersburg Observer, you would know that. But anyway, folks, we don't care for Bradford pear trees.
No,
at home show.
And I will tell you this: you can't buy Bradford pears at Bates Nursery and Garden Center. Of all the things that we carry,
we're not gonna. Yeah,
we don't carry those, and they are a
starts here.
We really do work at narrowing the palette of plants that have proven to be invasive. And Bradford pears, we weeded that one out about 20 years ago. So you should not buy those. And we don't sell them. But what we do sell is everything else that you could want for your lawn or your landscape at Bates Nursery and Garden Center. And you can go to our website and search all of those items. And you can do much more than just search. You can buy them online and have them picked up curbside right here. You don't even have to come in. I know it's hot today. You might say, it's just too hot to get out there. I don't want to get out in the heat. You can shop online. You can even have it set up to be delivered directly to your house.
Really?
You can do all that online at BatesNursery.com. Now, if you are a person who really takes a more tactile approach to gardening, you want to get your hands in the dirt, you want to feel the plants, you want to see them with your own eyes, we do invite you to come out. And we are apprised of the fact that the weather is warm. Yes. So you will find iced bottled water available right there, free to drink while you're shopping. So open up one of them. We've got a big cooler up at the front area. We also have another one down in the new perennial structure down there. So
yes,
check that out. Get you a bottle of water. You know, there's nothing worse than being a dehydrated
shopper.
You don't want to be a dehydrated gardener. So we want to keep you hydrated here at Bates Nursery and Garden Center. And of course, we're a proud seller of EarthMix garden products.
Yes,
no matter what you are planting. It doesn't matter if you're planting vegetables, which we have a great selection of those. Yep. Still, if you're a late gardener, we got you covered.
Or you need to replace something because you planted them in a swamp.
Or maybe you planted them early and they got freeze damage or frost damage and they're not doing all that well. Anyway, we've got things to improve your stock in that regard. So come out and see us at Bates Nursery and Garden Center. Check out the entire line of EarthMix garden products, either by the bag or in bulk.
Yep.
So check that out. Go over to BatesNursery.com or come out and see us. We are conveniently located
1 mile
north. No, 1 mile north of Briley Parkway at exit 19 on White's Creek Pike, which is just minutes from Rivergate, Opry Mills, Nashville West. And I promise you this, it's worth the drive no matter
sure
where you're
is.
Coming from. We have a selection second to none, and we'd love to have you come out. Be glad to help you. Our landscape professionals are here on duty all day long, so come see us. Bates Nursery and Garden Center.
I've missed up the feed here on the comments, but Mr. Walden had a comment about the daisies or whatever these things are.
Sunflowers.
Sunflowers, okay. Yeah. He was saying it was swamp variety of some sort. I've missed that. Can you roll one?
Swamp variety?
Native swamp variety? If you'll roll back on the feed there, but it's moved its way out of the scroll, so.
I don't know, but they are
they look like daisies.
They are not a, to my knowledge, are not a swamp variety. They are
There is something called a swamp sunflower.
Oh, there are hundreds of cultivars of sunflowers. So this is just one that has been developed for a lower growth habit, an earlier flower start time, and a longer lasting start time. So it doesn't have the huge flowers. You know, as you can see, these are only, you know, not much. They're not nearly as wide.
They're
as
about
my
3 inches. Yeah. Yes.
So, very nice, very showy, very great for cut flowers. So you can bring them in. They really hold up
earlier
nicely
in the season. Because I initially thought they were black-eyed Susans, but that's not a black-eyed Susan.
No, it's not.
That's a coneflower plant, right? Is a black-eyed Susan a coneflower?
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So, yes.
I'm learning something here once in a while.
Using my Google horticultural degree, I found out a swamp sunflower is also called a mountain daisy.
Mountain daisies.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that what possibly be what you have at your house or your mom's house?
No, that's just the Jack and the Beanstalk variety sunflower. You could climb to the sky on that thing.
But they're mountain daisies.
Is
that anything like a mountain oyster?
No.
Okay. Big hello to Thomas Fox out there and also to Brad Harkeye. Welcome, gentlemen. Glad to have you come along for the ride here on the At Home Show.
Is that the proper pronunciation?
Yes.
Okay.
It is not Harkey. It is Harkeye. I actually know Brad.
Oh, okay. So
that's how I know that.
Brad Harkeye?
Harkeye, yep.
Okay.
Wait, say it one more time.
Harkeye.
Okay. For a second, I thought you said Hawkeye, and I was like, that's a great last name.
Harkeye. Good morning, Brad.
Hawkeye.
It's probably not the first time there's been a conversation about how your last name is pronounced.
And he doesn't care as long as you call him.
I've never heard him correct anybody.
My last name is Stevenson, spelled with a P-H, and I'm constantly having to correct people and tell people how to pronounce it. They keep wanting to say Stephenson.
Well, that's how it's spelled.
So what's S-T-E-P-H-E-N?
Stephen.
It's Steven is what that is. We ain't in France, yo.
That would be more German anyway.
Huh? Well, whatever.
And nein sprechen Sie Deutsch here, though.
No?
No.
Nine?
Nine.
Hmm?
615-499-6690.
Do that one in your French accent, David.
I don't like my French accent.
Well, it sounds kind of...
615-499-6690. That's not
Senor.
French.
That is that sounds like the inspector guy. Have you ever seen The Transporter with Jason Statham?
Yes.
It sounds like the cop that's always tailing him.
I have a good friend of mine... Bob Britton, I'll just call him out there. I don't know if Bob's watching this morning or not, but Bob is he speaks, you know, he was raised in South America, and so he speaks fluent Spanish and Portuguese.
Ooh, that's a tough one.
But he worked for Kimberly-Clark in Austria for a number of years, and his German, the people would laugh at him when he would speak German because it sounded like he had a Spanish accent, so... be badly, so he would, and he would use the wrong words, and often it could create a you know, the Austrians and German folks are not
known to play around.
They're not known for their quick sense of humor. They're a bit kind of a stoic bunch. But Bob was, he's got a couple of stories, but he was able to bring the laughter roaring out of the cloud out of the crowd because of his inability to sprechen Sie Deutsch.
Oh. Well, speaking of sprechen to whatever you said, Yard Boy's on the phone.
He is.
Bring it.
Okay. He's got a minute and 30, so let's go. Yard Boy, what's up?
What's going on, guys?
Better late than never.
Well, he's busy.
I'm a busy man.
Corey, I need you to pose as the Department of Ag so we can get rid of a Bradford pear in Robertson County.
Okay.
No, see, it was that easy.
You don't mind doing that, do you? You don't mind. I mean, that's no... You're not worried about compromising your professional status, are you?
Absolutely not. Never have been. But just make sure you get all the proper permits from the authorities there in Robertson County.
Well, you could bring one of the extra police cruisers from Petersburg up there with you as you go, right?
Right, because you know what we do with burn permits in the town of Petersburg, don't you?
Yeah. Burn them. You burn them. Oh, my goodness. I understand that there was a two new aldermen appointed to the town council this week.
Yeah, that's the word on the street anyway.
Okay. But they're both citizens and registered voters of Petersburg, right? Because I think the city charter says that you have to be, right?
One out of two qualifications, I guess.
Oh, okay. All right. But you got two of them anyway, right?
Well, they're not convicted felons this time around. Let's just put it that way.
Well, there is progress being made then, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good sign. That's a really good sign.
You know, I had a problem this morning, guys. The reason I was late calling, I got a property next door to me here, and a new landscaping company pulled up, and they started mowing the wrong yard.
Did you just let them finish before you stopped them?
No, I did not, because they were not up to the quality assurance standards of the yard boy.
So. You might lose yard of the month over that one.
Well, it's not my yard, so.
Projectiles would have been thrown his way that way. But, mistakes happen. How much of it did they get done?
He got about three passes with a 60-inch mower. So.
Okay.
Okay, and what do you use as far as width-wise on a mower? Is yours a 60-inch or is it larger than that?
But he was mowing a little bit shorter than what I tend to mow.
Well, that does speak well of you, sir, because most grasses around this area have some Bermuda, but the majority of them are cool season grasses. When you cut them that close, particularly at this time of year, you're asking for trouble.
Just asking for trouble. So, in the words of Yard Boy, always mow high.
Exactly. Yes. Always mow high. Always.
Yard Boy. Yeah, keep those striping standards up, and keep those and them carpet bagging other yard services out of your yards. Okay.
Y'all keep it straight up right now. You hear?
Thank you, buddy. All righty, folks. We have run long, but that's okay because we are in control.
There's
we're not
no going to
get kicked off any kind of a network or
Camille
anything.
Camille
like
Miller.
That.
Good morning to you. Great
we do
to
what
see
we want.
Okay.
Tune in next Saturday morning live here on Facebook. Go out to YouTube. Subscribe to the channel.
Also on Twitter.
Twitter, yes, absolutely.
Ask the folks over at LinkedIn to give us
get their act together.
Get them going. Fire them up, because I know there's a lot of LinkedIn folks, and there are a lot of places, and there's a lot of content that we would like to access there on LinkedIn and get some other things so we can bring some other interesting things to you on the At Home Show. From Michael Stevenson and David Bates, my name is Josh Carey. We'll see you here next Saturday morning for another hour. I almost said 2 hours. It was 2 hours.
You never know.
We may go 2 hours. We'll see you next Saturday morning.